Did you ever hear the diet of the worms? Did you ever hear that? In church history, I could never get, as a younger guy, I was always going, diet of the worms. Like, why would you have a diet? You know, we're talking about John the Baptist. He had a diet of what? He had a diet of locusts and honey. So I'm thinking a diet. You know, you hear that, a diet of worms. Well, diet, going back, was an assembly, a group of people. They came together, the Roman, Holy Roman Empire and the church would come together. And so basically, in 1521, today, in 1521, started the diet of the worms, which the assembly came together. And they specifically were looking at Martin Luther, because Martin Luther, oh, how bad he was with the 95 theses, and they had to excommunicate him from the church, and they then declared him an outlaw because of his stance on scripture, and he wouldn't stand. Martin Luther, a great person in Christian history. I think a lot of times today, Martin Luther, when you read about Martin Luther, just the conviction the man had. And I think today, knowing what, if he would come back and look at what happened in the Lutheran church, he would roll over in his grave multiple times. But great man of history, great man of the Lord, Martin Luther. Which, diet of worms, then made me think of worms. So, what kind of worms make the best carpenters? The inch worm. That's the best carpenter. What is smarter than a talking worm? A spelling bee. Okay. Yes, you can put the $5 here when we're done. And then what type of computers do worms use? The Apple Macintosh. The Apple Macintosh. That's what they use. So anyway. All right. Well, this morning we're going to open up in prayer, and then we're going to continue the series. We have the series of John the Baptist. We have today. Next week we're gone, but we have a guest speaker next week. Logan Hertzler is going to be speaking next week. And Beth is actually doing music. So everyone, give them some encouragement next week. So let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Lord, I just thank you for this church. I thank you for everyone in here. Lord, I thank you for the scripture that we have been given. Lord, help us and speak to us this morning as we continue to look at the life of John the Baptist. Just give us some wisdom on how to apply that into our own life and what he did and how he just strived to serve you. Help us to have that same strive and drive in our life with people around us. In your name we pray. And speak to us, Father, this morning. In your name we pray, amen. So, part one, series of John the Baptist. We looked at what? We looked at what the prophecy said about John the Baptist and what Jesus said about John the Baptist. So we started there. Then last week we started to look at his life, and we knew that we looked at the, how he was had a strong spirit, how he grew, had his dedicated mission. And I think you guys walked away with your honey and your locust. Did anyone put that by their nightstand, the little locust piece? No, just, you can do whatever with that. Goes in your little toy bin. The locust. Gil, if you guys didn't get a little locust, we might still have a locust for you. You guys can take. But today we're looking at, once again, we didn't finish up last week. Still looking at John the Baptist. And this will be a four-part series. So after next week, we'll have one more part on John the Baptist, which the part four, you don't want to miss part four. So it's kind of pulls everything together and just ending up with John the Baptist, of what a great figure he was. So Today we're looking at multiple verses. So first off, we're going to just kind of touch base where we left off last week. And we're looking today specifically at John the Baptist and his influence on teaching and then his influence on society. So John the Baptist in Luke 3, we started on some of this last week. I'm going to start here again, and then we're going to bounce through some of these. Luke chapter 3, 7 through 15. And actually, we're going to start in 10, because that's where we left off. And John the Baptist, if you look at your notes in the back, John the Baptist was an effective teacher. So he just wasn't going out and baptizing and walking away. He just wasn't going, you know, out there and said, everyone come and baptize and then rolling through baptism. That's what we think about a lot. But he was an effective teacher. In verse 10, we read this last week. What should we do then? The crowd asked John. John answered, the man with two tunics, you remember we talked about this, should go and share what he has with the one that has none. Verse 12, the tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, they said, what should we do? He said, verse 13, don't collect any more than you are required to. The soldiers came and asked him, what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. Verse 15, the people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts. This verse here we're going to come back around to in a little bit. The people were all wondered in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come. The thongs on his sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So we know he was a teacher. Once again, in Luke chapter 11, we see the same example. Chapter 11, verse 1. And this was a question actually to Jesus, but it goes back and shows who John the Baptist with some of his teaching. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place, Luke 11, 1. When Jesus, he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. So Jesus' disciples were there, and Jesus many times, which we know, Jesus went to pray in private many times. And Jesus would go and pray. And Jesus' disciples, and that's when actually he came out, and then we have the Lord's Prayer is right after that. And we see that in Matthew, and we see it here in Luke. But what we're looking at is John the Baptist also taught his disciples. He had disciples, and he taught them to pray. All right. Luke chapter 5, verse 33. They said to him, Jesus, they said to him, John's disciples often fasted and prayed. And so do the disciples of the Pharisees. But yours go on eating and drinking. They were questioning Jesus. The Pharisees, the crowd was questioning Jesus. And here we see once again that John the Baptist would teach them to fast. So we know John the Baptist was a baptizer, and we also know that he was a teacher. He taught. So he was out, so he would teach in the desert, teaching how to fast and pray. How many times do we do that? You know, I know fasting, I'll be honest, fasting for me isn't, I hate to say this, but like, as an American, we have so much on our plate, and we have so much. How often do I fast? I don't fast as much as I should, but it's a very biblical principle for us to be fasting, and John the Baptist taught his disciples to fast. Jesus also taught that fasting was okay to do. It was a good thing to do. But Jesus, when Jesus looked at fasting, Jesus basically hit hard on, you don't fast so other people can see it. You fast God. And many times, the Pharisees, Sadducees of the time, they weren't fasting for God. They were fasting so people would be like, wow, look at those men. They are fasting. And it was all about them. Matthew 3, verse 11. I'm going to start in verse 10. For he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the evil spirits, where am I? Matthew 3:11. That's what it's telling me. I'm in Mark, sorry. Matthew 3:11. I baptize you with water for the repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. Once again, John the Baptist talks about he was here to promote and to push forward repentance, that he was there to baptize with and for repentance. Repentance, kind of just how this comes across. We hear about it. We talk about it. When we look at repentance, and we talked about briefly last week, John the Baptist and the ministry and how this looks, the ministry of John the Baptist. So John came first, right? John the Baptist came before Jesus. So Jesus, what we know is what? Jesus is our salvation. John the Baptist came first to do what? He preached repentance. People, humans, we need to what before we get to what? We need to have repentance in our life. And so when John the Baptist went to the Jewish people, to Israel, that was kind of a great example for humanity of how salvation would be. John the Baptist came to preach repentance. A showing, John the Baptist was only a showing of water, a cleansing. I'm repenting. I'm changing my life. Repentance. Repentance means to show that you're sorry for your wrongs, that you know what you have done in your life is wrong, and that's what John the Baptist came for. And for us as people to get salvation, it's that same thing, right? That same exact thing has to take place in our life. It's kind of like this. I thought about this yesterday. I had this roll of carpet in our garage. And our garage is a nightmare. We have shoes everywhere. And sometimes I think I close the closet on the shoe bin. And I think they're like rabbits in there. They procreate in that thing. And I open them up and there's more shoes. And there's shoes that roll out. So I have shoes everywhere. So I had this mat that has been sitting there. I haven't got to add it, you know, to the floor. And it's been sitting there a month. I'm like, I'm doing this. I got to get this thing done. So as I was doing the mat, I was thinking in my head about John the Baptist. And I was like, hey, John the Baptist is not to call John the Baptist a doormat. But that's what my thought was. It's like, this is kind of like John the Baptist, the doormat. And there's many doormats. And I'll explain. In our house, there, you know, people in their houses, you have shoes in the house and not shoes in the house type of people, right? In our house, we're shoes not in the house. Shoes stay out in the garage. And when we first got married, that was a struggle for me because I came from a house that shoes were in the house. You go about and you walk in the house and you have your shoes on. In our house, and Jen grew up, shoes weren't in the house. Man, that I'd be like, this is my house. I could wear my shoes in my house if I want. And that's how I was. It would get under my skin. And then one day I was traveling and I was standing in a bathroom by a urinal and I looked down at the floor and guess what was all over the floor? Yeah. Everything. Like everything was in the bathroom was all there on the floor. At that moment, I was like, I'm glad I'm a shoes off kind of guy. Because you travel, that's on your shoe, then you take it into your house. In the food industry, it's real big too. And there's all sorts of mats to clean your feet, these mats. So we actually just installed some. You pour Clorox in there, the sanitizer, and you walk into these things and you move your feet around to clean off the bottom of your shoes because they're dirty. There's also these units that you go in and you walk into it and you press on them and you go shh, shh, and it sprays this alcohol on the bottom of your feet. Why? Because your shoes are dirty. They need to be cleaned. John the Baptist was the beginner, the forerunner. He was the doormat. He was the cleaner. He was there so the cleaner could do his job. He was the doormat. And when you go to a doormat, you can step on the doormat, but if you just step on it, it does nothing. What do you have to do on that door? You have to, this is kind of an example of repentance. You have to do something. You have to move your feet. You got to clean it off. You have to squish it down into the little thing to get the stuff up on the bottom of your soles. You have to, you as a person, to clean off your shoe. John, I'm not saying that anything bad against John the Baptist, because John the Baptist, his whole thing in history was one thing. Every time when people said, wow, John the Baptist, you're so famous, and he was famous at the time, and everything came back, and he always showed his humbleness, his humility, and he always promoted who? Always promoted the power and the Savior, Jesus Christ. His whole entire ministry, that's what he did. Promoted Jesus Christ and Jesus' power. John the Baptist's earthly ministry started off, Jesus' earthly ministry started off with John the Baptist. So Jesus came, and when he was baptized, John the Baptist, then at the same time, in verse, let's say Matthew 3, verse 11 through 17, I'm actually going to start in verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, for you do not, and I do, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized by John, he went up out of the water, Jesus did. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son. So God spoke, this is my son, whom I loved. With him I am well pleased. John the Baptist was baptizing, his purpose, his mission. He was the doormat. He was the person to prepare the way to say, clean, it's time to clean. The cleaner's coming. It's time to clean. That's what John the Baptist was doing. He always promoted Jesus Christ. Mark, if we look at Mark chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. And this was his message, John the Baptist's message. After me will come one more powerful than I. The thongs on his sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He continually pushed continually talked about Jesus Christ so many times. And John the Baptist was known throughout the region. And we'll see that in a little bit here in a second. John the Baptist, if his mind wasn't right, the guy in the desert who grew up with nothing, who grew up out in the desert, and once again, here is a man that Jesus said was what? Jesus said he was the greatest man ever born of a woman. John the Baptist didn't grow up in the palace. So the greatest man ever born of a woman grew up in the desert, in caves and dust, and he ate what he ate. There's nothing special outwardly about him. Jesus said he was the greatest man ever born from a woman. John the Baptist, because why? Because he was the doormat for Jesus Christ. He was there to promote. He was there to preach repentance, to clean yourself, to start to look at yourself internally. And as a nation, Israel, because guess what? The Messiah is coming. And all he did was promote Jesus Christ, not himself. Mark, we're going to look at the influence that he had in chapter 11, Mark 11. We're going to start in 27 and go to 33. They arrived again in Jerusalem, and while Jesus was walking in the temple courts, the chief priests, at this time John the Baptist was already murdered. This was the priest talking to Jesus. This is actually during the week before Christ's death. The teachers of the law and the elders came to him. By what authority are you doing these things, they asked. And who gave you authority to do this? Jesus replied, this is where we look at John. It gives a revelation of who John was more. Jesus replied in verse 29, I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. Jesus says, John's baptism, was it from heaven or from men? Tell me. So he asked the priest, where did John the Baptist, where did this come from? Heaven, which also God, because the Jewish people a lot of times wouldn't use God's name. They would say heaven because they didn't want to be blasphemous in any way. And Jesus said, tell me. So they go back and they discuss in verse 31. They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, they feared the people, for everyone held that John really was a prophet. So they answered, we don't know. After John was already gone, we see the fruits of John's life in this society after John was already passed. We see that the high priest reveal that John the Baptist, the people knew John the Baptist so well and understood what he was saying about repentance, and they were being baptized that they knew he was a man of God, a prophet. That's what the people held to. The Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't believe it. But the people, and that's what they were scared of. They were scared of the people because he was so well known of his love for God and preaching of the repentance of people. John, sorry, I'm jumping all over the place. But that's how John the Baptist was. He jumped all over the place too. John chapter 10. We're going to start here in verse 40. Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. Here he stayed and many people came to him. They said, though John never performed a miracle, a miraculous sign, all that John said about this man was true, about Jesus. And in that place, many believed in Jesus. John the Baptist, the greatest man ever born to a woman, never performed a miracle. The disciples, they performed miracles. The apostles, they performed miracles. There's other people that performed miracles. We hear people about, have gifts of the Spirit. We know John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit from birth. John the Baptist never performed one miracle, but yet he was the greatest man ever born to a woman. That's what Jesus said. But he never performed any miraculous signs. What did he promote? He promoted Jesus Christ. He promoted repentance. He told others to change who they are, to change, to turn to Jesus Christ. He promoted Jesus Christ. That's what he did. Now, we see that his teaching of faith, his teaching of prayer, his teaching of repentance, his teaching of fasting, all influenced this society. We see it after John already was gone. We see the fruits of his labor here that people then believed who Jesus Christ was by John's mission. It's very similar to what we are asked to do. The Great Commission, which we've talked about, Matthew verse 28, or chapter 28, for us. How do we take what John has done and we look at that and we put on a light unto ourselves? If we look at it ourselves, John the Baptist, yeah, he was living in the desert a long time ago, eating honey, and he was a doormat, and, you know, he people knew who he was, but he was an odd guy. Where does that leave us? What can we take from that and apply that to our life right now? And it kind of rolls right into the Great Commission. Because this is what we're asked to do before when Jesus ascended. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. There, go for make disciples of all nations. Was John the Baptist making disciples? Yeah, he was, wasn't he? Jesus says, therefore, make disciples of all nations. That's to us. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Can anyone baptize? Can anyone baptize? If we're believers and we hold to Jesus Christ as our Savior and we lead someone to Jesus Christ, do we have to be a pastor? Do we have to baptize somebody? No. If you come with somebody and somebody wants to be baptized, if you are living for Jesus Christ, because when I read the Great Commission, it talks about this is a job for every believer, that we are supposed to make disciples, that we are to baptize people in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Our job as believers is the same job that John the Baptist had. I know for sure, 100%, I'm not the greatest man ever born of a woman, John the Baptist was. I'm by far, when I read that song this morning, when we sang that song this morning, in my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm lucky to have the closet. But to be in Jesus' presence, I'll take the water closet. Just to be, you know what I'm saying? To be in heaven, I can take whatever room is available. It doesn't matter. But John the Baptist, his whole ministry was promoting Jesus Christ. The Great Commission tells us, church, we're to do the same thing. So when we look at John the Baptist's life, We need to apply that same thing for us to reach people, to tell people to repent. People are just living for whatever they want to do. And that we're supposed to do that in love and everything else. And Acts chapter 17, we're going to close with this. Acts, but I do have to read this because it ends up today. Acts chapter 17. Verse 29. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold and silver or stone, an image made from man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. God commands all people everywhere to repent. John the Baptist was called to baptize to repentance. We're called, from what I see in the Great Commission, to do the same thing. Are we telling people? Are we involved in people's lives enough that we have an influence, even a tiny bit like what John the Baptist had? John the Baptist was known for his love, for his faithfulness, and sometimes for his oddness, and then his just in your face, you need to repent. A little bit of that always comes around when we're dealing with life and people. So when we step back and look at how can we apply what John the Baptist did in our own life, we need to be doing that same thing. We can't save people, but we can tell people. And that's as we look at the closing up with this teaching and the influence that John the Baptist had on society, his whole existence rolled down to where even Jesus Christ would come back and use John as an example to the Israeli people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, look at John and we look at his life, who he was, kind of some of the stuff he did. And Lord, there's one thing that we can take from it. That one thing that we can see is that we need to speak boldly of your love and your salvation. Lord, you want us to tell people to repent. You want us to repent. You want us at the same time to repent and come to you. Lord, help us to keep that in our mindset, that we need to be living for you in repentance, in a repentance nature of our sin. Lord, I pray that you will help us, Lord, as the week goes through and as we step on a doormat this week, that we will remember our job, just like John the Baptist's job, is to promote you. And when we step on that doormat, Lord, and we go in and we our foot hit the carpet and we wipe the dirt off of our feet, help us to remember that's our job. That's our job. Lord, speak to us throughout the week as we step on that mat. It's a silly thing, but Lord, I know you can do whatever you want. Help us to remember that our job is to promote you and your salvation. In your name we pray. Amen.